The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey, Clan, this episode of Outlander Cast is brought to you by MinuteWithMary.com. And if you have yet to join my hashtag Minute with Mary's marvelous VIPs on Facebook, search that hashtag Minute with Mary, because this month, the month of August, some of my most popular collections are 33% off.
33% off?
Seriously, man.
You know, as shocked as I am about that, I'm actually more shocked that you said it's August. when did that happen?
Today. Oh, happy August 1st. Rabbit, rabbit. All the way from Providence, Rhode Island, welcome to Outlander Cast. It's a podcast dedicated to the show Outlander on Starz.
Sing me a song, the last that is gone. Sing at last, the island. Every soul, she sailed on a day on the sea to sky.
That's right, it's August, it's Droughtlander, but we're here for you. And if you don't know me, hi, how's it going? My name's Mary Larson.
Oh, my name's Blake, and I know this is going to be hard for anybody to really comprehend, but I'm almost at a loss for words.
Yeah?
I'm so close to just not knowing what to say about our title episode today. This is a special episode of Outlander.
Outlander
Cast. You know, we don't normally dip our toes into this kind of stuff.
When I dip, you dip, we dip. I put my hand up on your hip.
but you know, this is a special. This is a special occasion, and it's
meaning I especially don't dip my toes in this kind of thing.
Yeah, you know, like I try not to be too critical of Starz and whatever, and because you know it's the home of all of our favorite show. It's Outlander, you know. So like, I don't want them to get discouraged. I mean, they're not listening to us. I mean, you know, God only knows. But I don't like to be too critical of Starz the network publicly, at least. But, you know, for those of you who don't know, Jeffrey Hirsch, and this kind of actually hits home for me a little bit because I've been kind of talking about this subject and this guy and, you know, quite a bit. Actually, we had a whole podcast episode about Starz and how they switched CEOs and the whole thing. And Jeffrey Hirsch is now the COO of Starz. And, you know, he's straight from Lionsgate, which is the parent company of Starz. And he came out on the TCAs, the Television Critics Association's press tour, and said some really dumb stuff.
Yep.
Like, really dumb stuff. And a lot of the world, a lot of the Outlander world is outraged. And I feel like we kind of should put our two cents into this and either flame the fire or maybe calm the seas. I'm not 100% sure which way we're going to go. But we definitely have some thoughts about it. And I think it's important that we talk about it and, you know, talk about it as a fandom and talk about what he said. Because in my opinion, I think it's insulting
to everybody.
To everybody. And but, you know, more specifically, the people who love Outlander. And we'll get into why and the whole thing and whatever. And I think it's important that we do that. But before we do all that, I wanted to remind you that, well, first, thank you for listening to Outlander Cast.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. But I do want to remind you that you can find Mary and I on maryandblake.com, where we have all of our podcasts there at maryandblake.com, where we have a show called This Is Us Too about This Is Us. It's actually coming back in the fall. Why am I even saying the fall? I mean, like, it hurts my heart a little bit to even mention that it's coming back soon in the fall.
I'm excited because I'm getting sweaty.
I know. I'm done with the heat, to be honest. I know I just said what I said, but I'm a total cold weather guy.
I know.
Give me 5 feet of snow
every flannel.
Day. Yeah, all
give
the flannel.
Give me cocoa.
Oh.
Fireside snuggles. I'm
so
done.
Much L.L. Bean right now. It's great. Well, you can check out This Is Us, too. And also, Mary and I are doing a podcast called Rise Up, which is about the Broadway hit Hamilton, which I'm very excited about. As a matter of fact, Mary and I are going to see Hamilton in a matter of a couple of days.
Yeah.
So it will hit home for that end of Mary and Blake as well. Again, you can find all of this stuff at maryandblake.com and yep. Check us out on our Facebook page, on Twitter. Just look up Mary and Blake. We are there. We're there to talk to you and have fun and explore all of our amazing podcasts and blogs, which Outlandercast is a part. But Marvin, you ready for this? You ready to have a little bit of a roast?
Bring it on down.
Let's do the roast part here.
Okay, so for someone who doesn't know who this Jeffrey Hirsch guy is,
yep.
Who is Jeffrey Hirsch?
So, like I said earlier, Jeffrey Hirsch is the COO of Stas,
Chief Operating Officer.
That a girl. You know your acronyms. I'm so proud of you.
Thanks. I also brushed my teeth twice a day.
I actually asked one of my employees if they knew what NASA stood for, and they were like, what's Stop. NASA? What's NASA? They didn't even know that NASA was a thing.
They're not even millennials. What are they?
They're
babies.
They're, yeah.
They're literally in diapers.
They're a child. So yeah, he's the COO of okay. Stas. And right. He was brought in. Well, he was named the, not the replacement, but the successor to Chris Albrecht, who was the CEO of Stas. Prior to Lionsgate buying Stas, but then he served as CEO when Lionsgate bought Stas for a couple of years.
Okay. I got just very confused. So he's been in the industry.
He's been a part of the Lionsgate family.
Yes. Okay.
And Lionsgate
bought
Stas. They put this guy in charge when they kicked out Chris Albrecht.
Okay.
Okay. Put it that way.
Sorry, Chris.
I know. And you know, you've started to see a shift in how Stas is handling things, in the kinds of shows that they're creating and putting forth, and
yeah.
Part of their catalog, they want it to be a certain way, and yeah. This is the guy that's making that change. You know, for better or for worse, I think we'll get into that. In my opinion, I think he's doing some things that are good, but I think he's really. Really, in some hot trouble here. And
it's
he's in hot trouble.
Premium trouble.
Yeah, premium trouble. Atta girl.
Hey,
premium trouble because he said some things at the TCAs, which again is the Television Critics Association,
yeah.
The press tour there, where he was saying, listen, we have this audience and we have all these shows and we want to lean into this audience. He called it the premium female.
So, wow. Okay. Like, first off, are you picturing a prize cow? I am.
Yeah.
Like the 4-H Club. That right there is a premium female.
That's a premium female.
We're going to be, you know.
I fed her extra grass today.
That's right. Like, what is a premium female? I know what a premium cut of meat is, and that's what that sounds like to me. So what is his, like, how do we know what his description of premium female is?
So, well, we have learned of this through the TCAs, but
yeah.
It was even expanded on further
okay.
by a really good writer. Her name is Leslie Goldberg. She writes for The Hollywood Reporter. And this is when Jeffrey Hirsch gets in some trouble here
okay.
because, you know, he talks about the premium female.
Yeah.
And he doesn't correct himself. He doesn't like say, you know, that's
Let
a little
me
condescending.
That. Yeah,
condescending.
Yeah.
He doesn't do that.
No.
And he just goes in. And Leslie Goldberg, who is obviously a woman, God love her. Really, just thank God for her because she could have done what I just said. Like, she could have been outraged and said, what was that about, bro? And you know what? I wouldn't have been upset. But God love her. She lets the guy just go. And yep. he just talks and talks and talks and doesn't stop talking. You know, like I
mean, it happens to the best of us.
It's awkward. So the premium, she actually asks him. So, hey, Jeffrey.
Hey,
Jeff. Jeff, my boy. Jeff.
I don't know if she'd say my boy after this.
Jeff, what's up, bro?
No.
You want to explain what premium woman is? And he says, yeah. Okay, Leslie, no problem. You know, it's a little older, probably 24.
Wait, let's stop right there. A little older, probably 24.
Yeah.
Wait, hold up.
Yeah.
Okay, continue. So probably 24 to 54. Once again, a little older.
Yeah, 24 a little older.
To 54?
Yeah. I didn't even think of it like that.
Okay. What?
Okay, first of all, you
first
know what?
Off,
let me just play this.
Shame.
Okay. These peeps can't get discounted dinners at 4, all right? They're not that old. Do they get the senior citizen discount at the movie theater? Nope, they're not that old. Have they had to have fake hips and fake knees put in? Probably not yet, because they're 24 to 54. Have they retired? Probably not. Have they had grandchildren yet? Probably not. Have they, gone through puberty? Yes. So that's what he's basically saying. I think people who've gone through puberty, have graduated college, maybe have gotten married, and maybe have started to get a couple of gray hairs, you know, women who make money, those are my premium women. But he instead said,
"Not great, Bob."
He instead said, a little older. He didn't say women who have their acts together. Women who, decide for themselves what they want to watch at night because they moved out of their mom's house. A little older.
We're not even four words in the interview yet, okay? So
premium woman is a little older, meaning 24 to 54.
Yeah.
If you're in that range, just know that I'm raising a glass with you saying, I didn't know I was a little older.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right.
So they're a little bit more economically viable than other segments
okay.
in terms of broadcast.
Okay.
They like really high scripted drama, great women in history, and a lot of IP. You look at the audience of Outlander, for example,
hey,
and
yeah.
that's the perfect audience for us. We've done a lot of research around that, and we figured out that women are twice as likely to buy apps and are under $10. Imagine you are a little older and you're more likely to buy apps that are under $10.
Because I moved out of my family's house.
They're more loyal. Their lifetime value on the digital side is much longer. And whether we hey Mary, I'm just a guy here, right? I'm a guy talking to a gal, ready? Whether we're smart enough to figure out that or we just backed into it, I don't know. We've seen it and we're now leaning into it in a big way.
Wait, that's what he said? Yeah, this isn't Blake making fun of him.
No. You know, it's just whether we're smart enough or not, I don't know. Maybe we backed into it. I don't know. But we're leaning into it now. What? It's like you look at it. It's like I just said, it's like he's looking at Leslie. He's like, hey, I'm just a guy. I'm not a COO. I'm trying to be cool. I'm trying to be funny.
I have no idea even how we came to figure out what premium woman means. But hey.
We backed into it.
We're now leaning into it in a big way. He could have definitely said, you know, I'm looking for a woman who knows what she wants, who's got her act together, you know, who is also willing to spend some money on herself in regards to watching the networks and the shows that she wants. We're looking for, you know, maybe people who are a bit more educated, who do enjoy drama.
Someone who's confident in what they like.
Yes.
They know what they like and they really support it.
Yes.
But instead he goes, hey, he gives it like the shoulder, shake. Like, hey, you see, I'm just a guy.
You know, like those women that buy Candy Crush, you know? He didn't actually say that. But that's pretty much it.
But
is.
That's basically
you know,
what
those
it is.
Old women.
The ones who play Slingo.
Those older, those little
man.
Older women.
So,
excuse me.
Oh, goodness. And you know, I've written a great piece for Outlander Cast in talking about all of this, and I've broken it down, and it's pretty harsh on Jeffrey. And one of the things I said in it was, this comment actually reminds me of when Mitt Romney said, I got binders full of women who could join my cast.
Yeah.
Like, it's just some dude who's totally disconnected from, the real world.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, this guy doesn't just show up and, like, go to Dunkin' and grab, like, you know, a couple of hash browns and, you know, like, I don't think this guy's ever touched a donut in his life.
Yeah.
Like, I think he just goes to Starbucks and gets, like, the medium Maca Choco latte.
Maca Choco.
Yeah, whatever. However, they just give me a medium coffee.
Yes.
I don't think the guy's ever said the word medium coffee in his life. I feel like he shows up and he's getting me, give me the Americano, please.
Okay, now you're just making fun of him.
Yeah, well, you know. And this is where Leslie could have done the same exact thing I did, just make fun of him to his face. But she's an actual professional, and I appreciate that.
Unlike us.
Two jabronis.
A little older. We're just a little older jabronis.
We're more loyal and apt to buy.
Apt to buy apps.
$10 apps.
Some will call us premium.
So Leslie gives, she actually gives him an opportunity to back off. She actually says, you know, but hey, Jeff, that term, she actually says, that term is just, you know, not
what
good.
How does she say it's not good? What does she say?
She says that term is just dot, dot, dot. Like, she's given him an out to be like, hey, Jeff, that sounds really dumb.
She gave him like the side eye, like, you might want to rephrase that.
Are you sure?
Okay.
Okay, you know, like, and he says, you know, for a long time, I was calling it female-centric, which, by the way, I would be happy with. The whole premium female versus female-centric thing, it sounds better as female-centric.
Where's this guy from?
I have no idea. I have no idea. We can look it up.
Okay. He needs an accent when you're reading his part. We need to be, you know, people can't see you. They don't know when you're Blake.
Oh. Yes. No,
or when you're Jeffrey. So, like, I need to know, like, from which area of the country is Jeffrey from? What kind of accent will he have?
Let's see.
If it says Boston, we're screwed.
I know. We are effed.
But, yeah, so the interviewer was basically trying to say, like, okay, so that term is just, and he tried to clarify, and then he went down the rabbit hole.
Let's see. I got his LinkedIn profile here.
Hey.
She gives him, let's see. He's in the great. He went to Dartmouth College. No wonder why I don't like this jabroni. No. He went to Dartmouth.
No, he did not.
Yes, he did. Get out of here with that.
How old is he? Is he premium? Would I have gone to school?
Oh, he's absolutely premium. Yeah, actually,
look at him.
And by the looks of him, it looks like he's had a couple of donuts.
Hey, Blake, we eat donuts every day.
I'm just saying.
Okay, marketing manager. Let's see who this guy is. The Tuck School of Business. Keep going down. Okay. Tuck School of Business at Dartmouth. All right. What do you do? Look at that. He's like helped out at youth centers.
Yeah, I don't
Sweet.
Care.
Okay. University of Pennsylvania.
UPenn.
Okay. Went to UPenn. He's a smart guy.
Oh.
He's wicked smart.
He's one of those smart guys. You know those like smart kids that like wears like the...
We don't know anything about this guy.
No. He's like the kind of smart kid that's kind of like weird smart.
No, you don't
know that. He went to UPenn and Dartmouth.
I was smart enough to go to Dartmouth, okay?
I'm just saying. He's probably like...
What's the matter with me?
No, absolutely nothing.
I'm premium. That's right.
Yeah, you're a little older. You're a little older.
There's nothing wrong with his education. He actually has a fine education.
No, he has something wrong with his education because it's a rival of my school.
I was just trying to figure out... Yeah. I was just trying to figure out if he had an accent. Okay, so anyway, go back to it. Give him like, can you do any accents?
I got one accent.
Okay.
I could do
Do you want me to be Jeff? I'll be Jeffrey.
I'll be kind of like Fonzie. How's
Blake,
that sound?
You be the female interviewer and I'll be Jeffrey.
Oh, we're going to like gender bender.
Go for it.
Okay. You know, Jeff, that term is, it's just.
For a long time, I was calling it female centric. But listen, we're not trying to be Lifetime. We're not trying to put programming on that is at the exclusion of men. A lot of the couples who watch Outlander, the woman finds it and she brings her spouse to watch it.
You've just copied me. You've made me into Jeffrey Hirsch.
We do have a large male universe of viewers. But if it doesn't serve that female audience, it's not for us. We're not trying to be Lifetime.
Hey, we're not trying to be Lifetime here, okay? Hey.
We're not trying to put programming on that is at the exclusion of men.
I'm just a guy here. We're talking, right?
But if it doesn't serve the female audience, it's not for us.
Oh, man.
Okay, continue.
So he says this, and you know what? I actually kind of understand where he's going. I'm not mad about this. I like making fun of him for it because it just sounds dumb. But I kind of understand what he's saying. They found an audience that's not really served. And they have noticed a couple of things about this audience.
The premium female audience.
Who's a little older, right?
Hey, a little older.
More likely to buy apps. I get it. Okay. You know, prime A, grade A beef.
Hey, yes. Hello, Outlander cast listeners. Many of us are premier females that he is looking to target. Perfect. Understand.
You're
I get
grade
it.
A beef. That's what you are. And no. That's okay.
It's okay.
And that's okay.
I'm the target demo.
And so I understand all that. But like, it just...
So what bothered you?
Okay. And here's... It bothers me because of his logic that he later employs. And it really gets really bad when he starts talking about this female audience and some of the programming that they've had at Stars and how some things are canceled because it's not female-centric or premium female, like the show Counterpart.
Okay.
Counterpart, the one with J.K. Simmons and everything. And,
yeah, but they promoted there was two it of them. Hardcore.
Yeah, it was a big deal for Stars.
Yeah.
And it got... And Leslie Goldberg, God bless her, again, a real professional here, says, hey, Jeff, Counterpart had two seasons. Both of them got 100% score on Rotten Tomatoes.
Which is like unheard of. It's, that is not a common thing.
And in the second season, you canceled it. And he says, you know, the guy, Justin Marks, who is the showrunner, he's a great writer.
Hey,
oh, no, you got to read
job.
It. Sorry.
Okay, so you can sum up your question.
She says, basically, you canceled Counterpart and it's got this score on Rotten Tomatoes. And that decision seems questionable, Jeff. Was that decision based purely on the fact that it was a male-focused show?
Listen, okay? Justin Marks is a great writer. I love to find something else we can do together, but John Landgraf grabbed him when we canceled the show. It was very complicated, and there's nothing wrong with being complicated. But to a certain extent, part of my view in the world today is that for the most part, people's lives are tough. And when they come home at night, they just want to escape their lives. They don't want to be able to get, they want to be able to get into a piece of content very easily and escape. Counterpart was really hard for people to get into. It wasn't accessible.
You know, people's lives are tough. It's hard. It's hard out there, right? Hey, I'm just a guy talking to a girl I know. Hey, you get that? That's okay. What that sounds like. And this is really dumb. This is really dumb.
Well, once again, I mean, I frequently say I like to watch some just like happy-go-lucky stuff like Parks and Rec. Sign me up
totally
all day,
agree.
Every day. I need to laugh before I go to bed.
Totally agree. 100%.
Hey, listen, if you're saying, though, you know, people's lives are tough and they want to escape that, some episodes of Outlander are not like, you know what I want to do?
Yeah, I want to watch Wentworth.
I want to watch that, yeah.
Wentworth is my jam.
That's going to cheer me up.
or like, the guy is crazy. Of course people want to watch good shows. They want to watch entertaining shows. The entertainment is the escape, not just being whisked off to the good place. There is a place for shows like The Office and The Good Place and Parks and Rec. And we enjoy them. But they're good. Just like Westworld. Westworld is good. It's heavy, but good. The Leftovers. Game of Thrones. Are you telling me that is not heavy, or The Wire, or The Sopranos? Those were all popular shows, which happened to be on HBO, by the way, that people loved because they were well-written. It's not just because they want to escape, or just because they want to have their unruly lives just, you know, be forgotten. It's the entertainment that takes them away.
So your concern is that this guy who has a really tough time outlining his premier audience, his premium female audience, by being able to designate who they are a little bit more tactfully.
Yes.
He's coming out here saying, oh, you know, for these females, we want to find things that make them happy because life is tough.
Yeah, and it's not, it's accessible that way.
That isn't hard to understand. And so that's why we got rid of Counterpart.
Because it wasn't accessible. And what I really want to say to him is, dude, Have you seen The Handmaid's Tale? Is that show not heavy? Are you telling me that show is not accessible? Oh, I'm sorry. It just happened to friggin' sweep the Emmys 2 years ago. It swept them.
So maybe this guy doesn't really watch that much TV. Maybe
I don't think he watches
just
any
not
TV.
In touch with like what people are watching. And the thing is that Outlander isn't like butterflies and rainbows, and you can just, I mean, granted, there are several episodes where you can't just keep it on the background because it is butterflies and rainbows or something else that is just as enjoyable. But on that note, like, this is a show that you want to sit down with because the characters, the plot, the beauty of it all. And yes, there's some areas that where you want to escape, but it's not just because you want to leave your rough day behind. It's because of the dynamic writing and characters.
Right. And the relationships those characters have, which gets me to the next part.
Okay.
And this is the most egregious part. And most of you are going to think it's because he makes a flippant remark about Sam Heughan, and I see why some people are upset about it. Actually, I get why a lot of people are upset about it. But it's not the most upsetting thing to me, and we'll get into why. And again, Leslie Goldberg, love ya, God love ya. She actually digs down a little further, and she questions him on this. And she says, well, Jeff, I get it. You know, your counterpart, you know, maybe it's a male-centric show. But let me ask you, if Counterpart had a woman at its center, would there have been another season of it?
It depends. There's a lot of shows out there that have wonderful female leads that skew male. You have to be very careful. What we have seen with our Spanish Princess White Queen series is great women in history play really well for that audience. Well, lean into that quasi-genre. Outlander, you can say that it's great because women like it because she's a surgeon who goes back in time. But there's another side of that, which is there's some eye candy for that audience. And people like it when he, you know, Sam Heughan has his shirt off. You really have to be thoughtful about when you're looking at a piece of content, whether it's really going to be female or not. It's not easy. The nice thing for us is 65% of our show leadership are female. You don't need me to figure it out. We have professionals doing that.
Yay. You don't need me to figure that out.
So, okay. Once again, she says, okay, so you just got rid of this show that was scoring 100% of Rotten Tomatoes. If it was about a female, would you have kept it? Oh, well, you know, maybe, he says, because, you know, people like females in history and cool things like that. And speaking of cool, you know what people think is cool? Claire's a surgeon who goes back in time. And then these women, these premium females, they like it when Sam Heughan takes his shirt off. Because, you know, we need to be really thoughtful about looking at pieces of content.
It's hot.
It's not easy.
It's not easy.
It's not easy.
Hey, but I don't need to tell you that.
We have professionals.
We got professionals to do that. Yeah, you don't need me.
Okay, wait. What?
Okay, so no, this
Let's
is when...
Let's break this down.
All I can think of is Michael Scott when he's talking.
Scott from the show The Office.
From The Office. Like, I think of Prison Mike. I think of That's What She Said. I think of all the stupid things that Michael Scott has said to his office, because he's just not smart. And this reminds me most of the awkwardness and the soul crushing awkwardness and shivers up my soul of the Scott's Tots episode of The Office. You know, the one where Michael promises to pay for a bunch of third graders' college educations, and years later he has to finally do it and he can't afford it, so he gets them all lithium batteries for their laptops.
God bless.
And they do the dance for him and everything. Oh, I shiver just thinking about it.
Yeah.
It's that awkward.
Yeah.
It's that awkward. And your boy Jeffrey here.
Not my boy.
He's that awkward here. And of course, we're talking about the whole shirt off comment about Sam Heughan. And, you know, and there's another side of that. You know, it's really the eye candy. It's the eye candy. You know, Sam Heughan taking his shirt off. Yeah, people love that. That's really dumb. It is. It's stupid. It is condescending. It is reductive. It is all of those things. And again, like I said, I get why people are very mad about it. But most importantly, well, at least for me as a man, I see what he's saying, but the approach is totally off. But as an Outlander fan and as a fan of good television, I think the thing that really angers me is the fact that he says Sam Heughan takes his shirt off, but then says, you know, you got to be really thoughtful. It ain't easy. Like, you cannot have those two sentences together.
No, and like this guy literally gives the worst elevator pitch to Outlander. She's saying like, okay, so what about female lead shows? Like, why is this the magic sauce? And he basically says, oh, you know what's great about Outlander? She's a female surgeon, travels in time, and then Sam Heughan takes off his shirt. And we're really thoughtful about this.
And like, not only that, he says it like, at least the way that it comes off is that it minimizes the really great things about the show.
Yes.
That she, first of all, she became a surgeon. She wasn't just a surgeon who went back in time. She was a nurse. So let's just get that straight.
Elevator
off.
Pitch, okay. Fail.
It minimizes the fact that she is a woman of strength, of power, of sexual strength. Someone who is confident in her abilities, was a war veteran.
Was married
and went through time. And he's like, that happened. But no. The real point, it's the eye candy. It's the Sam Heughan taking
the
shirt off.
The Jacobite revolution.
Yeah. Like, you just minimized the entire plot of the show in favor of Sam Heughan's pecs. Like, that's what happened. And then you turn around and you say, but we got to be really thoughtful. You can't say, hey, this is eye candy. This is the thing. It's the eye candy. Hey, it's the eye candy, right? I'm just a guy talking to a girl. You can't say eye candy and then say, but we're really thoughtful. You can't do it. You can't
not
do
in
it.
The next sentence.
No, you can't do it. If he was in on the joke and he was laughing and they were just joking about it, I see it, but I don't see a joke here. I don't see. And listen, I'm not trying to virtue signal here. I'm not. This guy made a mistake, and I'm not saying I've said dumb things in my life. You've listened to me now for 4 years. I've said stupid stuff on this podcast. But this guy, I'm sure, is a millionaire.
He's really important and in charge of big-time things that we care about.
Yeah, I'm in charge of Mary and Blake Media, along with my wife, this little teeny-tiny company in the basement of my house in Providence, Rhode Island. That's what I do. This guy is the COO of a multi-billion-dollar company, and he says something this friggin' dumb. It's, you needed a guy. You needed a guy or a girl, just like when he's in the middle of talking, to just say, no. You know what you needed? You needed Michael Scott.
No, God, please, no. 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 No.
That's what you needed.
Yes.
You needed Michael Scott to just show up and say no. But you know what? Instead, we got Jeffrey Hirsch essentially doing this.
That's what she said.
that's what we got instead. And it's, this is the guy that's in charge of Outlander. Like, this is the guy that's going to decide whether or not it gets renewed for season 7, 8, 9, 10, whatever. And he's talking about Outlander like this. The logic there, it should outrage you, the listener, because he is undermining your taste in television. Not just like the Sam Heughan takes his shirt off, but he's saying, but we got to be thoughtful about it too. Like, he's saying eye candy. Eye candy is the Real Housewives. Eye candy is The Bachelor. It's that kind of crap. Like, and there's a place for all those shows. And if you like them, that's great. Good for you. It's Keeping Up with Kardashians. That's the eye candy. Outlander is not that. Outlander is an effervescent, well-written, for the most part, beautifully shot show. One that takes a lot of time, effort, costumes, the history of it all. It all rolls into the beauty of Outlander. And this guy basically reduced Outlander to Keeping Up with the Kardashians. That the specifics of it is that kind of eye candy. How does that make you feel, Mary, as a woman? Because you've heard my opinion as a man.
Listen, I mean, I look at this interview and it makes me feel like here's some guy who doesn't understand his premium female audience at all, who's in charge of this kind of programming. And God bless the females in his life who are of that premium age, because I just don't think he gets us. I don't think he gets us. He definitely fails at giving the elevator pitch to my favorite show on Stars. Like, seriously, worst elevator pitch ever, man. And it concerns me greatly because this guy's important. Like, this was an interview in print. Like, The Hollywood Reporter, not just like going home to, you know, the Dartmouth newsette.
Dartmouth. Like, get out of here with
Dartmouth.
It wasn't
that. Like, it's okay. Dartmouth is fine. Leave them alone. But it's not like he's just doing it just like anything. And this woman did try to help him. She tried to give him, what was it? Like, throw him a line. What was that show? Like, phone a friend?
Yeah. Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
Yeah. It was like, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? And she's like, are you sure you don't want to phone a friend on this?
Final answer?
Yeah.
Final answer.
Let's clarify that. And he was like, yeah, she's a surgeon who travels in time. And then they like to look at Sam Heughan with his shirt off. Because we're thoughtful. That's what the professionals told me to say. 65%.
No, God, please, no. No.
I'm going to say numbers.
No.
I'm going to say lots of numbers and thank the professionals, because that's what I was told to do.
Like, hey,
here's the thing. Like, he probably came into Stars and they're like, okay, guess what? We have this many shows on air. We have this many shows that we want to bring on air. Catch up quick.
Yeah.
So, and that's what I worry, is that, like, this guy has never watched Outlander before, was literally, like, being driven, and his assistant, who I just picture as Anne Hathaway from The Devil Wears Prada,
absolutely.
Giving him his Starbucks, because, you know, he don't do dunks.
He don't do dunks. He does the donuts, but he don't do the dunks.
And she's literally giving him, you know in the movie The Devil Wears Prada, where Anne Hathaway
gives the book?
The book. Yeah. The book. And she's okay, don't forget, now this person, this. So she's going over, so she's like, so Outlander's a really big deal, okay? It's based upon this amazing series, great relationships. You get to see this amazing, loving, very complicated couple travel through time and go through all these. And he's like, yeah, give me three facts. Surgeon, time travel, that guy that's like really amazing, Sam Heughan, you've seen Sam Heughan, right? Oh, yeah. Oh, I got
that's
this.
The guy that takes the shirt. Yeah, I got this. Yeah, the shirt. Okay, got it.
And that's what happened. And then he walked up the stairs, and Anne Hathaway stood there going, shoot. Oh,
you know what she was doing?
What?
No! God, please, no! No! No!
Yes.
Jeff!
No!
That's what she was doing.
Yeah, she's literally like giving him the cut signal, like, stop! Stop right there!
So, and like, I feel he has these buzzwords that he uses throughout the whole thing. Like, we're going to be global and domestic units, and 65% is female, like 15 million times. You know that he got these coached up words. You know that he got them. Mm-hmm. They were like, just go. Say these words. You'll do fine.
Yep.
And thank God for Leslie. She just lets him go. He just keeps talking. And she eventually asks him, well, hey, you know, you're going to reshape Stars here, and, you know, you got some this premium female thing, you know, a little older, you know. How, you got some new shows coming up here, like the John Wick show. Tell me how that's female.
Is it Jennifer Wick?
Yeah. You're a premium female, right?
Me?
You're
yeah.
a premium female.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen the John Wick movies?
Nope.
Do you even care to see the John
Wick
movies?
Is that the Keanu Reeves mm-hmm. thing that I think was The Matrix, and it's not?
Yes.
Yeah, no thanks. I would prefer The Matrix.
They're making a show called The Continental based on the John Wick series.
Is Keanu Reeves in it?
No, not at all.
Then I'm definitely not interested.
So he's like, oh, yeah. Oh, no, I'm sorry. You have to. Go ahead.
Okay. So she says, hold up. You got this new show that you guys have created and paid for, and it's about a boy. I'm very confused.
And, you know, she asks the question, where does that even fit in? Does it even fit in to your premium female?
We've been in early development with John Wick, and it's The Continental, which is actually about the characters and back in the day when the hotel in New York came into the being. There's a lot of phenomenal female characters that have been written into the series. Women love crime, but it depends on the content. It doesn't necessarily have to be a female lead, which is not what he said earlier. There's a lot of movies that have great female leads that are very male-centric movies. We just have to be careful on that. We have a great group with stars and everybody and everyone in that whole thing who they understand this mandate that we have. And we're working with our women leaders on the show. So once again, guys, he says, oh, yeah, it's a show all about guys. There's female characters into the series because, you know, women love crime. Mind you,
he just women said, love crime. Am I right?
He just said, you know, they come back after a tough day and they want to escape because, yeah, that's what we want to escape to, crime. That sounds great. But of course, it depends on the content because it doesn't need a female lead, which is completely different than what he said before. And then he keeps going back to, you know, we have to be really careful. But there's like other people who do this and they're really great and they're working with women leaders.
Because you know, we're not professionals. We backed into it, so we're working with the women leaders.
Jeffrey, he goes by Jeffrey too, doesn't he?
He went to Dartmouth. Of course, he goes by Jeffrey. You know, he wears the Nantucket Reds all day. I bet you he wears the Nantucket Reds with the taffeta? No, not taffeta.
I don't even know what you're saying, man.
The stupid white and blue shirts. The white shirts with the blue pinstripes. You know, you wear them on Nantucket.
Seersucker?
Seersucker, thank you. Thank you. You know he wears a seersucker friggin' shirts with the Nantucket red shorts and with the boat shoes. He constantly wears them. He wears them into work. He wears them into Starbucks.
Blake, you are not being kind to this poor man that you don't even know.
It's because he went to Dartmouth. He deserves it.
Oh, my God. He read a book? Let me see. I'm Googling that. Nope, that is not the same Jeffrey Hirsch. Not the same one.
So he goes from saying, yeah, you got all these great female leads and da-da-da. He's like, but they don't got to be female. Because, you know, there's female shows that are very male-centric too, you know. Like, it's like he just keeps talking. And
yeah, I am just 2 degrees separation from him on LinkedIn. I'm going to ask to be his friend.
Oh, God, please don't.
Connect. You can customize
it. No, God, please, no. No!
Just did it.
No!
Jeffrey.
No!
Coming for you on LinkedIn, man. Coming for you.
Oh.
Do you want to be my friend, Jeffrey? He'll be like, oh, cool. She does a podcast about Outlander.
That's
and then he
great.
Listens to it.
And, then, and you know, he's just sitting there going,
that's what she said.
You know, like that's, I feel like that's his favorite joke.
Blake, you don't know this guy.
Oh, God. So then he goes on, they go on to talk about Power and the spinoffs and like how American Gods is a show that is on Stars, and they've had 3 different showrunners. There's been it's been chaos behind the scenes. And he's like, oh, you know, the new guy's doing a spectacular job. Love him. He's great. Da, 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 da.
Why don't they get a female, a premium female to do this job?
I know. Like, what are we even doing? And then, we've gotten to the Michael Scott awkwardness. But now we have some real dumb stuff happening, which is talking about Netflix. And he himself, and this is why, you know, his favorite joke is,
that's what she said.
Because he brings up The Office in it. And he's like, oh, Office is really popular. And it's the most popular show on Netflix currently. Like,
love it.
And how many times do you just put on The Office in the background and just watch it? He's like, well, you know, sorry. Sorry, you have to read this. The question is, when Netflix is offering their insane volume of content for the same price that Stars is, what's your pitch to keep and bring in new subscribers, Jeff? What's your pitch? What do you think?
The Office is the number one show on Netflix. The other show on Netflix that's really performing well is Outlander. And the thing about being in a creative industry is it's not just you. You can't just go out and buy all the creativity and keep it from other people. There's always a fresh voice. Part of the reason why we're leaning into this underserved audience and female focus is because others aren't.
No, others aren't.
Others aren't. At the end of the day, we want to be a complement to those other services with a very unique programming strategy. And we've been really successful to date, and I think we will continue to be.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, hey. Jeffrey. Buddy. Bro, stop talking. Just stop talking. And that's not bad what he just said, but what he follows it up with, once again, goes into Michael Scott territory, because Leslie says, "Hey, but you know, Jeffrey,
yeah,
I hope you know, right, Jeffrey, right? that the Office is actually leaving Netflix. They're taking it off.
Uh-oh.
It's going on to the NBC Universal app. Watch that's coming out.
Hold your butts.
I mean, how much longer, Jeff, are you going to allow shows like Outlander to be on Netflix before it moves to the Starz service? Like, how long are you going to let this happen, Jeff? What are we doing? Is it going to be on? Continue to be on? Since it's performing so well, Jeff.
Okay.
How long is it going to be on Netflix for?
Well, we have 4 million OTT. I don't know what that means. We're professionals for
time
that.
Out. It means over the top.
Okay.
Meaning they're your own app.
Okay. We have 4 million of those premium females that buy apps. We got 4 million of them. Okay. They're subscribers, and they will continue to, and we will continue to lean into that.
Time out. Time out.
I say this because Anne Hathaway told me use the word lean into. Okay, she told me it 5 times in the car. Thank you, Anne Hathaway.
Did I tell you that 65% of our audience is female? By the way, we got to lean into that.
Got this. I got this. We are.
Hey,
buying.
I got this.
We're buying. Hey, hey, there's one of me.
Sorry.
We are buying a bunch of library stuff from Lionsgate to put it on the service, and we'll continue to do that. The Outlander deal was a Sony deal that was done before I got to Starz.
Ain't my fault.
I would not have allowed that to happen. It's the yin and the yang from a business perspective of taking the short-term money and building a great long-term enterprise value. And if I put my straight business hat on from a shareholder perspective, building great enterprise value is the most important thing. We made a why are you giving me, Blake? I don't even know what this means.
Yeah, the rest of it's just a...
Basically, I'm so confused, sir, because you just said, like, let's go for that premium female audience who likes female characters, who do great things. And now you're saying, oh, I would not have allowed this to happen if I was on board.
No way. Why would we do that?
Why in the world? When we've got a library of stuff coming from Lionsgate, let's get some more Twilight. Where's Edward Cullen?
Where's my Hunger Games? Katniss! Katniss,
now, why is he saying that he wouldn't have? Because it was a Sony deal? Not that Outlander wasn't the content that he wanted, but because it was with Sony.
Right, so Sony made the deal with Netflix to go ahead and promote it. And you know the reason why Sony did it? Because it works.
Yes. How many of you listening, like seriously, shoot us a message. Once again, we love to interact with you guys. How many of you listening have had at least one new friend who knows that you love Outlander come up to you and say, hey, I finally got a chance to check out Outlander on Netflix?
Do you know how many emails and voicemails and Facebook, Twitter, Instagram messages we've received saying, oh my God, I just checked out Outlander on Netflix and I'm listening to you guys.
Yep.
I friggin' love the podcast. I'm talking in terms of the numbers that are listening to this show right now. We've had a dramatic rise. I'm talking thousands of new listeners. No, thousands.
So, like, check this out. There's only seasons 1 and 2 on Netflix. Somebody likes it, they might go to Starz.
Exactly. And you want to know why Sony knows this works? They know it works because, hey, Mary, actually, you actually benefited from this.
Me?
Yeah.
Me?
We both did.
Oh.
Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
Breaking Bad was put on Netflix.
Yep.
In a revolutionary deal. By the end of season 2 of Breaking Bad, it was put on Netflix. It was a show that was floundering. It had less than 1 million viewers. They put it on Netflix, and all of a sudden, it became a smash hit. A smash hit. Tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of people saw Breaking Bad. And they kept watching. And by the end, by Felina, which was the final episode of Breaking Bad, that episode brought in nearly 16 million viewers. 16 million viewers. And guess who owned Breaking Bad? Sony.
Okay.
Sony owned Breaking Bad. So they Netflix literally saved Breaking Bad. Can you imagine a world without Breaking Bad? Can you imagine the television?
I mean, I can.
Yeah, but can you imagine the television landscape without Breaking Bad? And this is what Sony knows. They know that this works. And it would work for Outlander because this is a show that is floundering also in its viewers. Let's be honest. The ratings went down 34% in season 4 from season 3.
He grew up in Providence, Rhode Island.
No, he didn't.
Hold on.
No, he did not.
Hirsch joined Time Warner Cable in New York in 1999. Having grown up in Providence, Rhode Island.
Oh, my God.
He was happy to return to the Northeast. Stop it, Jeffrey. Jeffrey.
No, God, please, no.
Oh, my
no.
God. Stop.
No.
Stop.
No.
Oh my God, this guy is from Providence.
Get the friggin' frack out. Get out.
Oh my God. You know, but I bet you he's one of them Providence kids that grew up like in the Yankees. Guaranteed.
I think he went to PCD.
No, he didn't.
I think he did.
Stop
that's, it. That's how I'm so closely connected to him. I think he went to the school that I taught at.
Mary taught at Providence Country Day School, which is the acronym for.
Oh,
its
I bet his dad even went there. Look at this, man. Oh, let's find. I don't know. God. Let's. We're gonna find. I'm gonna get to the bottom of this.
Oh my goodness! I can't believe this guy's from Providence. Stop it.
Hold on. We're gonna clarify.
Okay. Well, anyway, they know, and this guy, Outlander, is a show that has been floundering. It went 34% down in its ratings from season 3. It hasn't won many awards. It's on a network that's like the stepchild of all the other premium cable networks. And he's like, yeah, no, I wouldn't have done it. But now we're getting tens of thousands of new, maybe hundreds of thousands of new viewers. We are getting thousands of new listeners. How is this a bad deal? Why would you not have done this? It boggles my mind. Like, how do you say no to that? Like, that's insulting, too. That is would you not agree with me that that is not insulting?
I know. I think I just found his voter ID number.
Oh, my God.
I think I just found you.
Oh, man.
You know, it's whether Jeffrey lives in Providence or not.
This is
a different Jeffrey D. Hirsch. This Jeffrey A. Hirsch is a different one.
Oh,
so don't
thank
worry.
God.
Maybe, yeah, we're okay.
Oh, thank God.
I think we're okay.
Oh,
this is not the same that Jeffrey,
ain't Jeffrey
Hirsch.
That ain't Jeffrey A. Hirsch.
Okay.
That's a Jeffrey D. Hirsch. Oh, my God. Okay. All right. Clarify. He ain't one of us.
Oh, nope.
He ain't one of us.
No. I don't know, man. Did he live in Beverly Hills? Does he live in New York? Did he used to live in New York?
Yeah.
Jeffrey A. Hirsch.
Yeah.
47 years old. Think he lived in Providence.
Oh, maybe he's one of us.
Okay.
No, God, please, no! No!
No.
No!
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 Yeah, it says Beverly Hills, California, New York, New York, Providence, Rhode Island.
Oh, God.
I am so excited.
Oh.
Okay, sorry, continue. This has gone on a long diatribe that I did not expect it to be.
Well, at any rate, we're coming to the end here. We're at 52 minutes, so...
People are done.
This guy... is the person? This is their boy. This is their guy that they installed after someone who essentially revolutionized television. Chris Albrecht, for all the stuff that's been said about him and, you know, his past troubles, you cannot tell me the guy didn't revolutionize TV with HBO, because he was once the CEO of HBO. And if you want to hear all about Chris Albrecht and when they fired him and everything. Actually, we Mary and I talked about it a few episodes ago. It's just, you can look at it and you get the whole history and then when they hired Jeffrey Hirsch and the whole thing. This is their guy. I mean, Chris Albrecht helped bring on The Sopranos, The Wire, Game of Thrones. All of these shows are thanks to Chris Albrecht. He changed premium cable television. And then they bring in this jabroni. This jabroni from Providence, Rhode Island.
No, we don't know. We don't know.
He might be, okay? We're if on a scale of no to yes, I'm probably on the scale to, on the right side of the scale saying yes. I'm like halfway there.
Jeffrey Hirsch.
Oh my God.
Well, whoever this Jeffrey Hirsch is who lives in Providence, he's a Democrat. Okay, I'm finding everything about him.
So
I don't think it's him.
This is their boy. This is their boy. And he is the one that's in charge of Outlander. He's making the decisions. He's got his finger on the big red button. Does that make you feel comfortable? After hearing all of this?
No, not at all.
Why are you uncomfortable with it?
Because he does not know his premium female audience that he's picking all this programming for.
I don't think he knows good programming. I just don't. If you want to tell me that The Continental is a better show than Outlander or something that's going to serve the female audience because it's John Wick and, you know, because you know, Mary, women love crime. They love crime.
Love it.
Love it. I know you. You go home and you're like, hey, let's go rob a bank. Because I know you love crime. I don't. I'm not big on, but you? I have to hold you back sometimes.
Stop.
Oh, man. She comes home late at night. She's like, let's go get some Oxy over at CVS. What do you think? You want to break in?
I don't ever do those kind of things.
Yeah, don't say you don't, because I...
You know what I do love to do?
I just want to be truthful on the podcast.
Online. I love to find people online.
See, I think you're the one who did the hacking of Capital One just recently.
Guys,
and stole all
don't
the
mess with me,
Social
okay?
Security numbers. Because you love crime.
Don't even mess with me.
Oh, my God. Unbelievable. Hey, we're professionals over here. I'm not a professional. You don't need me to figure that out. I'm not even smart enough for that. What a tool bag.
Stop.
Seriously.
You shouldn't call people names. You can just say that it was foolish for what he said. And we are very scared for the future of Outlander.
I am scared for the future of Outlander. To be honest, I know we've been sitting here making fun of the guy and whatever, but I'm honestly scared for the future of Outlander. And yes, maybe they are leaning into the premium female audience, but we're getting to a point where they are approving all of these shows that are owned by Lionsgate. At what point do they say, you know, we're not spending any more money? We're spending enough. I don't want to be partners with Sony anymore. They're off doing deals that I wouldn't do. They're putting our premium product that should be on our app only, and they're putting it on Netflix. I don't want to deal with that no more. I don't want to be told by somebody else about what to do about my programming. He's already talking about how much money they're getting, and they want to be fourth or fifth, and we got all these things going on, and he's happy with their budget. You know they ain't happy with it. It scares me. That's all I'm going to say. And I just don't know how much longer, when this guy's in charge, how much longer Outlander has for the world. That's it. That's all I'm going to say. So, do you got anything else you want to say about this? Anything else you want to go over? Any questions, comments, concerns? Because, you know, I'm a guy just talking to a girl. Well, yeah, I'm like one of his.
No.
No, nothing?
I'm feeling like maybe he didn't grow up in Providence.
I really friggin' hope not. He sucks.
There's a different this is a different Jeffrey Hirsch.
Thank God.
Okay. This poor Jeffrey Hirsch. Look at him.
He's got a couple of donuts too.
Hey, stop.
Oh, Jeffrey Hirsch. You know what he needs to do? He just needs to stop talking. He needs to get someone in there to just be like Jeff.
Anne Hathaway.
He needs an Anne Hathaway to be like Jeff.
Yep.
What are we doing?
Yep.
Don't do that. All right. You ready to close this out?
Yes.
In honor of Jeffrey Hirsch. Yeah, we'll do this.
That's what she said.
Oh. Perfect.
Yep.
So in honor of all of you premier females listening to this episode who love crime.
who are more able and likely to buy apps of
go
$10.
Out and buy yourself an app.
Go out, rob CVS, get some Oxy.
Get out a picture of tapless Sam Heughan and call it a night.
Woo!
Okay.
Go blow some lines.
Not bleak. That was not in it. That was not in it. Well, I hope you enjoyed this impromptu episode of Outlander Cast. If you have, let us know. If you didn't, let us know. If you find out that Jeffrey Hirsch lived in Providence, Rhode Island, definitely let us know, okay? Jeffrey A. Hirsch.
Jeffrey A. Hirsch.
Not D. Hirsch.
He lived in Beverly Hills.
Maybe. Probably.
More than likely.
No joke. I think this is the connection.
You went to Dartmouth.
Yeah, if you stayed
freaking
East Coast.
Dartmouth. Dartmouth sucks.
No, but think about it. If you grew up in Rhode Island, what's the closest aside from Brown?
Yeah, Brown.
No, but he's not a Brown.
You know, he ain't smart enough to get in Brown. He's only good enough for Dartmouth.
No, Blake.
She just gave me a death stare.
I wasn't smart enough to get to Brown. Okay.
Because you're not weird smart.
He's weird smart.
No, no, you're not weird smart. Weird smart kids like don't talk to people because they're like...
You don't even know, Jeffrey. You are just being cruel, okay?
He went to UPenn and then Dartmouth. He's weird smart. You know it.
No. You know he's weird smart. There are listeners who went to UPenn. There are listeners who went to Dartmouth. Take it back.
I bet you they didn't go to both.
Well, if they did, good for you. You're wicked smart. Anyway, I hope you enjoyed this episode. The moral of the story is...
Don't be weird smart.
Send your prayers.
And don't blow lines.
You Outlander. Oh, goodness gracious. Jeffrey, listen to Anne Hathaway next time, honey. Okay? Yeah. There's professionals for that.
All right.
I'm Mary.
My name's Blake.
And you've been listening to Outlander Cast.
And now another no-brainer money-saving tip from Progressive.
Marcus, what happened?
I was changing my oil and I spilled some on the floor.
Oh, well, use these $50 bills to wipe it up.
Perfect. Got any more?
Yeah, take a couple hundred.
Stop. Instead of using money, use an old rag. And here's a better tip from Progressive on how not to waste money. Don't pay too much for car insurance. Drivers who switch and save could save hundreds. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary.